Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Pep Talk. Sharky Zartman here. And today is International Kids Yoga Day, a global event designed to help children celebrate their health and fitness through yoga. And we have the founder with us, Teresa Ann Power. Now, the event starts right after the show airs at 11 a.m., April 7th, and that's today. And Teresa is a yoga expert and the best-selling author of The ABCs of Yoga for Kids, and also her new book, The ABCs of Yoga for Kids Around the World. And I've had her on the show before. I have her book. I do yoga with my grandkids. And today she will discuss her worldwide event and why yoga is so great for kids. So welcome, Teresa.
Oh, thank you, Sharky. I'm so glad to be back on your show.
Right. Well, I'm glad to have you. And what great timing, right?
It's perfect timing, actually, today. And in an hour, I'm going to be teaching at 11 a.m. at St. Raphael School in downtown Los Angeles. I'm going to be teaching over 300 kids
wow.
a five-minute yoga routine that kids all around the world. We have today 40,000 kids from 40 countries and 50 states. They're all set to perform yoga today in their local time zones.
Wow, that is so cool. That is so
cool. Actually, what's very interesting about it is that it actually already started last night at 5 p.m. because actually it starts in Australia. And so an Australian Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m., is actually 5 p.m. the day before. So it started in Australia, and it's this wave of yoga going across the nation. It's going to end actually It's gonna end in Hawaii, and it's gonna finish at 11:05 Aleutian Standard Time.
Wow, that is so exciting! Now I know you have done this before, right?
I did it last year. I came up with the idea for Kids Yoga Day last year because I'm really passionate about exploring the health and fitness of our children through yoga. I mean, I think it's so important. And I was launching my other book because I kind of usually come out with a book a year. So I came out last year with a guidebook for parents and teachers, of yoga guidebook. And so I wanted to launch it on a day, and I was looking at Kids Yoga Day, and there's no Kids Yoga Day. So I invented it. So basically, last year we had 20,000 kids from 46 states and 26 countries, which is pretty good for the first year, and now we've doubled those numbers. So it's just my goal is to have 1 million kids practicing yoga on Kids Yoga Day in the future and make it a global, sustainable movement.
So is it always going to be April 7th?
Well, it's going to be the second Friday in April.
Okay.
And the reason why I chose that, too, is because the problem is sometimes it does conflict with Easter break for schools, but I think that even if they're on Easter break, that's fine. I mean, people can do it at home. And I just like it because it's spring. It's a fresh new beginning. And to start the spring with yoga. And actually, I've created a bunch of different five-minute yoga routines, not only for Kids Yoga Day, but also so we're springing into yoga. Then during the summer, I have a five-minute summer fun yoga routine, and then I have one to fall back into school with yoga, and then winter yoga in January, and then the cycle starts again with Kids Yoga Day.
Okay, so why 5 minutes?
Well, 5 minutes, my whole thing is it just takes 5 minutes to change a child's life forever. People are very fast with all the technology that's going on, and everyone wants instantaneous results. You know, everything's instantaneous in our world, right? And so people don't really have the time or are not willing to create the time to do a lot of yoga. So I figure at home, if kids could start with just 5 minutes, it'll morph into more. I mean, they'll like it. and they'll eventually, you know, either take classes or incorporate more poses or do a longer routine. And also I did it for 5 minutes because in the school system, I didn't want them to think that they didn't have time to do it. I mean, I have schools that are signing up with 500 kids, and they're all going to be practicing this 5-minute yoga routine. If I told them they had to do an hour routine or like half an hour, they may not have been as apt to want to do it. It's kind of quicker, but they've all said that we've gotten a feedback from people that did it last year that the kids felt calmer after even just 5 minutes and more relaxed and also part of something bigger than themselves. They're doing yoga with kids all around the world.
Right. How do they connect with the other kids?
Well, they don't necessarily, but okay, so last year we didn't do any live streaming or anything else because it was our first year and we kind of didn't really, you know exactly what we were doing. We just wanted to create this. But this year we're going to have people live stream if they want to. And they don't really connect with our kids, but the teachers are going to show, a lot of teachers show them on a map, oh, look, here's where people are practicing yoga in New York, here's where they're practicing in L.A., here's where they're practicing in Australia, kind of teaching the kids geography that way. And just knowing that all these kids are all doing the same thing is pretty powerful.
Right, right. Why did you decide to focus on kids yoga and not adults?
Oh, well, that was a long time ago, and that's an interesting thing because I think we discussed this, that I'm an attorney. So I started practicing yoga when I was in law school 30 years ago. And I wasn't that happy with, you know, my career in law. It really wasn't fulfilling to me. So when I had my kids, I stopped practicing law. But I kept on practicing yoga, and I was teaching adults at the time, which I loved. But then I went to my son's preschool class, and it was career day. And this kind of launched everything for me. And I said, this is what I do to the kids. I teach yoga, and then I was doing a yoga routine, and the school really liked it. And I ended up doing a trial kind of run teaching yoga to those kids, and it ended up as like I was taught yoga there for 10 years, and I taught the faculty after school. I taught all the kids. And I have a very good knack for it. I mean, I'm very good with kids, and I think it's more powerful to teach kids rather than adults for me because the kids are the future leaders, and if I can get them having fun and excited about yoga, it's very fulfilling to me. And to see them, even these kids that I taught over 10 years ago, now they're in high school and they still remember the yoga moves from me and they still remember it, which is really exciting to me.
That is really cool. And I really do think that we should have yoga in all schools as a requirement or at least offer it for the kids. And, you know, like you mentioned, most schools don't even let kids have recess or PE. So how can we get this to be a reality? I imagine you're trying to do this, right?
Oh, I am. I'm totally trying to do this. And part of the reality is just having these schools all participate in Kids Yoga Day and seeing that it is benefiting the kids, right? And then in turn, hopefully they'll want to incorporate more of it into their curriculum. I think a lot of schools are resistant to it because they think it takes time or they don't want to hire a yoga instructor.
Mm-hmm.
My goal is to is not necessarily to have a yoga instructor to have an hour of yoga, but to make it more feasible for schools to maybe incorporate it into the teachers can incorporate it into their classroom.
Right.
Now, I know the teachers think that would take a lot of time, but that doesn't really because it's going to create more time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, let's just say, and there would be different, you know, yoga. I'm trying to put a curriculum together for schools where I would actually teach the teachers how to incorporate it into their daily routine.
Great
idea.
So
that's where the 5 minutes comes in, because what happens if the teacher, like let's say in kindergarten, starts the day off with the kids in a circle and just does some basic breathing exercises and maybe one or two yoga poses, it takes 5 minutes to get the kids calmed down and ready to start their day. They're going to be more productive, and she's going to save time in the long run.
Right, right. You know, when I put yoga into the college, I came up against a roadblock because one of my bosses said that yoga is a religion, and they didn't want it into this public school curriculum. And, you know, I eventually got it in because, you know, we do have a fitness style. But what would your answer be to someone who says that yoga is a religion?
I've heard that a lot, Sharky, so I'm glad you brought that up. I have run across it so many times, and what I tell them is that yoga is not a religion. It originated in India over 5,000 years ago. That's just where it came from, right?
Right.
And but the type of, and there are certain yoga, you know, sessions or classes that do chanting or that do different things like that. But that's not what I'm doing. And I certainly would say even for you with adults, if you're having trouble in the school setting, that's not the way it's going to be implemented into the school system. The way it's implemented is just a form of breath and movement. It's mindfulness.
Right.
And I think a lot of schools now are incorporating mindful practices into their curriculum because they're worried about this whole deal that parents think that yoga is somehow Hindu or, you know, but it's not. I mean, it's not a religion. There's no, I mean, basically just centering yourself and breathing, that's part of life. It's not a religion. Any religion breathes, you know what I mean? It's
right, awesome. You have to breathe.
it's just mindful moving your body, and that's what I try to explain to the parents, that it's not about the yoga, but it's what about the yoga? It's a gift
right.
that you can give your kids.
Right. You know, we talked a couple of days ago and we told you about that school in Baltimore that has replaced detention with a yoga meditation program, and it's very successful. But why should kids have to show behavior problems before they're exposed to yoga in schools? I don't get that.
And that's the classic thing, but it's just one way, I guess, to start to incorporate it, right? And I think that school was in Baltimore. I believe it was kind of a underserved school. I can't remember exactly, but I think it was. So I think you're going to have more behavioral issues. So this is a way to kind of treat that kind of, you know, behavioral issues with more mindfulness rather than punishment, right? It's more yoga and mindfulness. But, yes, I agree with you. They should be doing it in the school system so they don't even have to send them to detention, right?
Exactly. Exactly, yeah. If I were a kid there and all my friends who were in trouble were saying, God, this class is so great, I would want to do something bad to get in the class.
Well, the thing is it is successful, so that's a good thing. And I don't know of any, there's so many studies out there now about, you know, yoga in the school system and the mindfulness and how it helps in so many different ways. I don't know anyone that's ever said anything that it's not helped. It's just the only negative thing that ever comes out of it is just that it is a religion, and some parents are pretty adamant about that. And I guess, you know, they have to hear it, and if they can't hear it, then what can you do? But
right.
It really has nothing to do with that. I mean, the way that I teach it, at least. You know,
right.
The
they have to come
like
and watch what you do. Yeah. Not make assumptions. So let's get to the benefits. I know that there's tons of benefits for both kids and adults doing yoga, but what are some of the major benefits of kids doing yoga?
Well, I think the main one is it helps them relax and unwind. Because these kids are so amped up and stressed, you know, with all the high technology and just, well, even bullying. There's so many things that go on for kids. So just yoga is a way to kind of help them focus on their breath and calm down and relax. It helps their school performance that way. And also, besides helping them calm down and relax, it also helps them focus and concentrate.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance, because I know you practice yoga, so the tree pose,
mm-hmm.
where you're just standing on one leg and you bring your other leg inside your thigh,
mm-hmm.
and bring your hands in prayer position. Now, that balancing pose is tricky for someone that's not used to it, and it really helps. I tell the kids it helps your laser focus. You focus on an unmoving point straight ahead so that you can stand on one leg, right?
Mm-hmm.
It helps your posture. It develops leg strength. All of that helps you in school because if you're able to sit there still with your body, you can't really be thinking about anything else if you really want to focus on your balance.
Mm-hmm.
It trains you so when you're not in the pose, you're kind of, your mind's trained to be able to focus and concentrate better.
Right. You can't multitask when you're in tree pose.
Exactly. And that's the beauty. And that's one of the things that really, for those people out there that think it's a religion or anything else, you know, it's not. It's just a way. It's what yoga, it's not about the yoga itself. It's about what the yoga can do for you. It can help you from multitasking. It can calm down your brain, and you want that, you know. You want to have that kind of peace of mind to be able to center yourself, just even for 5 minutes, just to, you know, calm yourself, and then you go back to whatever you're doing in a better space.
Right, right. Anything else?
Well, and I don't know if a lot of people out there know this, but yoga poses tone your internal glands and organs.
Yeah.
And that's what really makes it different than other forms of exercise, because you think that, you know, just doing a pose while you're stretching your body, you're getting relaxed, you're getting strength or flexibility. But no, like you can also start to regulate your metabolism. For instance, if you pull your chin to your chest when you're doing that cow pose, that is stimulating your thyroid gland. And so, therefore, it's helping your metabolism. So, and a lot of these poses do that. So a lot of the twists, you know, twist across all your internal organs. So there's a lot of benefit that's going on inside your body as well as outside.
Right, right. And also one thing, you know, as an athlete, I realized that when I did yoga that it really balances your physical body. I didn't realize that my right side and left sides were very different in terms of the range of motion.
Yes. Well, they are. And because yoga definitely works on both sides of the body evenly.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps you. And I'm glad you brought that point up, because another benefit of yoga, that it helps you in all your other athletic endeavors. Because for me, I play a lot of paddle tennis. And doing that chair pose, I mean, that helps me get down low to bend my knees.
Right.
And yoga's great for, I've done a lot of interviews on yoga for athletes, for tennis players, for baseball players. I mean, it really helps anything that you do. It helps you do it better.
Right, right. Well, I have a question about, you have something called How to Tame a Toddler Tantrum. Now, I have a 20-month-old granddaughter, and, you know, so she's almost two. And the other day, she was taking her little doll for a ride in her stroller, and the stroller, you know, kind of got knocked over, and she went into a rage. She just started throwing that stroller around. I just went, oh, my gosh, I've never seen her do that before. And I had to try to calm her down. But how do you use yoga to tame a toddler tantrum? I think I'm going to need to know this.
It takes practice to doing it, but the thing is that I talk about it as a yoga distraction, right?
Yeah.
Because obviously, like, when that happened for what, and it's the terrible twos, and I remember because my kids were little, I remember them throwing tantrums in their shopping cart, you know, they're sitting in the shopping cart screaming, and I was like, everyone's looking at me like, what is wrong with you, you know?
I know.
So I think we all have gone through that. As a parent, it's mortifying, but everyone understands because we've all done it. But the main thing is to distract them from what they're upset about it to begin with, because she's obviously upset because the stroller rolled over, her doll was hurt, or whatever was bothering her, right? So you got to just kind of do a distraction, kind of pick up the doll, you know, and say, oh, you know, look, wouldn't it be great if we just right now just took a deep breath or did the tree pose? Like, sometimes it's good to be kind of silly and distracting because it gets toddlers out of the moment because they're so absorbed in that moment.
Yeah.
So you could even say, okay, I'm going to, or even do a silly pose, like get down on your hands, and he's like, okay, let's just, I'm going to be a frog and see, like, you know, how a frog would react if this happened, and he'd say ribbit or something. And then you get into the frog pose and jump up and do the frog pose. And I guarantee you, she'll be so shocked that, you know, you're doing this, that she'll kind of go with it, and it'll be a distractor into, like, not wanting to cry so much about it. It really does work, this whole thing, and kind of strike a yoga pose. Or even before, this is another interesting thing, is even before the tantrum happens, you can even be talking to her ahead of time and saying, oh, you know, look, you know, if ever you get upset about anything, we're going to have the keyword yoga pose, or, you know, or frog pose, or whatever it's going to be, and then we're going to do it.
Okay.
And it's kind of a fun way, like I said, to kind of, it's all about distracting them from what's bothering them, because their toddlers are very, they can be easily distracted.
Right.
So we know that, because trying to teach them, sometimes I have to be ready to distract them if they can't sit still.
Yeah, we have to be ready to do this in Target.
Target, you know, but you have to pick something, like you have the book, The ABCs of Yoga.
Right.
Take a specific pose or something, or else just the breath. Even say, we're going to do our breathing now. We're going to do the soup breath or something. Like, we're sniffing in some soup, and then we're blowing it out or something, you know, blowing on it so it's not so hot. Or something like that. It's, you know, it's very creative. That's what I love about the yoga, or the type of yoga I teach in my book, is it's very creative, and it gives room for people to create their own ways to use it.
Right, and no Sanskrit.
No Sanskrit, no Hinduism. It's all just secular.
I know. Well, you know, we have a lot of young kids who've been diagnosed with ADD and ADHD who are being put on these strong medications to control their behaviors. Now, could yoga be used to help these kids and prevent them from being medicated? What do you think?
Of course. Well, I don't even think that. I know it because there's studies that have been done now that say that definitely that yoga can help kids with ADD and ADHD. There's a lot of, I think one was in the American Pediatric Journal, I think, stating that. And the way that it helps is because it helps them focus and concentrate and be more in the moment, because, you know, kids with ADD are very distractible and can't regulate their bodies, and yoga helps them do that. And also, it's better than the drugs, because a lot of these drugs you're giving the kids right now, they are only a temporary fix. They
right.
don't work once they get off the drugs.
Right.
So yoga is more permanent, because if the kids practice yoga and keep on doing it, it's a natural way for them to self-regulate their bodies, and it keeps on getting better over time.
Right. I think you need to get this information out to the pediatricians.
Yes, I really do, because I think, and some pediatricians do know about it, you know, but I really think it's, people need to realize that, and I think that a lot of parents need to really think twice about, you know, medicating their children at a young age, because it's really not alleviating the problem. It's a temporary solution.
Right, right. What are some of the favorite poses that kids like to do from your book?
Well, of course, I talked to you earlier about the frog.
Yeah.
They love squatting down and then jumping up and saying ribbit, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So fun for them. And they love the cat pose.
Okay.
Where they're on all fours. I do a little bit of a different version of the cat than for the adults, where I just have them on all fours, right?
Right.
And then they're going to straighten one leg back like it's their cat tail.
Okay.
And the kids love to say meow in that.
Yeah. Okay.
And they love the dog pose, and they love to and to, like, bark like dogs. And sometimes they just like to, you know, quietly. I mean, if they get too out of control, I bring them back to their breath. And, of course, my favorite pose is easy pose. And
oh, yeah.
A little poem that goes, they're sitting cross-legged. Sometimes I call it crisscross applesauce. And they just sit there, adults or kids, and I just have them calm down. And the little poem that explains it in my book says, I like to relax in easy pose, taking deep breaths in and out through my nose.
Right.
And it's just that simple, and it really helps calm them and bring them back.
Right. What are the youngest children you've worked with? How?
Oh, I've worked with babies.
Oh, you work with babies?
Oh, recently I'm on the library program now. I'm a paid performer, so to say, at the all the LA county libraries. So I go out to the different libraries and do presentations. And so we read from my book and we do poses and I play some music and we have fun. And I had a grandmother bring her grandson and a mom bring her granddaughter, and they were both, I don't know, maybe 9 months old.
Wow.
And so basically they went along with everyone else, but the parents actually kind of got the kids into the poses gently. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like some of the poses. Because, you know, you can kind of help manipulate your baby into doing some of these poses. And you want to be careful. I mean, you don't even have to, but it's kind of something fun you can do with them, you know.
Exactly.
The bonding activity.
Exactly. You know, I know my daughter loves doing yoga with her kids, and she does have your book, and, you know, and as you know, I do too. But we're going to take a short break, and when we come back, I want to talk about your new book that's coming out today.
Okay,
so,
okay.
All right. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Teresa Power right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can take on aging as a sport with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Take on Aging as a Sport. Read the book, connect with your inner athletes, make a game plan, discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging, and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Take on Aging as a Sport by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit agingasasport.com.
I'm William Shatner, and this is Jimmy. Animals like Jimmy are often left behind by people fleeing hurricanes, fires, floods, and earthquakes. These abandoned animals cannot survive on their own. If you must evacuate your home, please never leave an animal behind. If you absolutely cannot take your animal with you, never leave him helplessly chained or caged. Many animals die because they cannot escape fires or rising waters. Animals need your help. Thank you.
Call PETA today, 757-622-PETA.
These shoes are made for walking, jumping, running, and just plain style. Over 32,000 styles. Skechers, an award-winning global leader in lifestyle footwear. And now you can get Skechers without walking, jumping, or running. You can get them by clicking. Scroll down HealthyLife.net homepage and click. You can check out Skechers, high-quality shoes in styles for men, women, and children. So get in style. Get Skechers today and start walking, running, jumping, and strutting in style.
With a little Shark Sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org. South Bay Saturdays, catch the best of 7, the best of the HealthyLife.net news at 7, 1 p.m. Pacific Time, Saturdays, only on HealthyLife.net Radio.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and I'm here with Teresa Ann Power, and she is the founder of Kids Yoga Day, again, a global event designed to help children celebrate their health and fitness through yoga. And it's today, and it actually starts here right after this show. And we've been talking, Teresa, about yoga and kids and benefits and all this fun stuff. But I know you have a new book coming out, The ABCs of Yoga for Kids Around the World. Now, how is this different from your first book?
Yes, and actually it's coming out today. It's launching today.
Awesome.
You can buy it on Amazon or you can buy it at my website, abcyogaforkids.com. And it's different than my first book. My first book was an alphabet book of yoga poses.
Right.
So, for instance, A was airplane and Z is for the zero pose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, this book is an alphabet book of countries. It still has beautiful illustrations in it and the poems explaining how to do the poses.
Mm-hmm.
But, for instance, A is for Australia. Now, then there's a little, and this is fun for kids that are learning how to read, and they get to learn a little bit about Australia and how to say hello in language. So the little blurb says, G'day from the land down under, at home of the koala bear. And then it has a beautiful illustration of the koala pose and a little poem describing how to do it.
Oh, cool.
And then Z would be for, it ends in Z, and Z is for Zimbabwe. And it says, Moro from Zimbabwe, where Victoria Falls is a majestic waterfall on the Zambezi River. And then it's the waterfall pose with a little poem.
Oh, what a wonderful way to combine language skills and geography and yoga. No one's ever done this before.
No, this is completely unique, and no one has ever done this before. And I came up with the idea. Actually, you know, this got done so fast. I came up with the idea over the summer. And I just decided I was going to write it, and I just did it, and I just, you know, that was what I was going to do. And I was inspired by Kids Yoga Day with all these different countries participating. And this is where this whole idea of kids being unique and the same at the same time, you know what I mean? It celebrates our oneness and our uniqueness at the same time. Yoga.
Right. Well, I love this. It's a way to bring everyone together and at a time where everything that they see, you know, in the adult world is so divisive.
Yes, and not only that, but I think it's going to unite us all globally because, you know, when you think about it,
right,
we all are human beings, you know, no matter where we live in the world, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I think it helps unite us all and just that we all are the same. You know, we speak different languages, you know, and we have differences, but yes, we don't want to be divisive. That's the thing. The world is so divisive, and I think this is the perfect timing now, and especially for our kids who are our future, you know, leaders of the country, and for them to be compassionate, to learn how to calm their minds and bodies, you know, to learn differences is okay, you know. It's just fabulous. I'm so excited with this whole thing.
Well, you should be excited, and because you are making a huge difference not only in our country but worldwide in teaching yoga and uniting people. This is amazing, Teresa. It really is.
Well, thank you, Sharky.
Yeah, so you're just about ready to you know, do your class, right?
Yes, I'm ready to launch Kids Yoga Day in Los Angeles at 11 a.m. But like I said earlier in the interview, it's already happened because it happened in Australia
right.
last night at 5 p.m. because 11 a.m. in Australia was 5 p.m. last night. So basically we're continuing the wave. So the wave's starting here in Los Angeles, and if people want to know more about it, they can go to kidsyogaday.com. Which is the website, and there's still enough time here in Los Angeles. There's still enough time to just follow along at home. You can actually download the 5-minute routine and practice it with your kids. If you're home with your kids, if you have younger kids, and people at schools can turn on their TVs and maybe see things about it. I mean, it's going to be very exciting.
Okay, this is awesome. So I almost am afraid to ask, what's next for you?
I really do want to come up with, I want to write another book, which I'm trying to launch a book a year, and it's going to always, most of the time, come out on Kids Yoga Day. But I want to combine a health, a yoga and nutrition book.
Yes.
And for more for school students, because I want to develop a more a school-based book. So it would be a curriculum that schools could use, teaching them health and nutrition, which is kind of my next goal.
And this would be for young kids.
And just to get the word out. I mean, I want a million kids practicing yoga on Kids Yoga Day, and I want it to be a global, sustainable movement.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think you've already doubled it, what you did last year. And so I think you're going to hit your mark real soon. And it's so funny that you should talk about nutrition. I'm going to be talking a little bit about nutrition on my next Shark to Heart, because I'm going to talk about the way my students eat. I have them write down everything they had to eat the day before, and you would not believe the way these kids eat. I mean, I don't know how some of them are still alive.
Well, but that is brilliant, actually, that you make them write it down, because, first of all, it helps you, because you can help them by knowing what they're eating, right?
Right.
And then it helps them to, like, actually look at it and maybe think to themselves, wow.
I know, they're going, do I have to hand this in?
Yeah, I'm so glad that you're doing that, Sharky, and I'm so glad with everything that you do, too, because you're amazing as well. I mean, it's we're all kind of, you know, we're all on the same boat. We're trying to help kids and to help adults, you know, I mean, because adults need it, too. I mean, everyone needs help with, you know, this nutrition and exercise and movement. I mean, it's important.
Right, because, you know, if the kids are learning this stuff, and the adults are doing this with them, they're learning along with them. They're kind of going, it's like an aha moment, right?
Well, it is, and I think especially in these underserved communities, I don't think that a lot of the parents really know much about nutrition. Maybe they weren't educated, so they don't have any way to educate their children just because they may be ignorant about it. So it's good the kids can kind of teach their parents, and the parents can kind of get involved and learn about this too, which is a great way for the parents to be part of their kids' lives.
Right, right. And, you know, because, you know, one of the other messages that comes along with yoga is that you have to be a, you know, vegetarian to be a yogi, and that's not true.
Oh, no, that's not true at all.
Yeah.
In fact, okay, well, I mean, now we're going back into this thing about yoga comes from...
I know.
When they first were doing the yoga, they needed the milk and the calcium and the meat to be able to sustain their bodies for
right.
strength, to be able
right.
to do the poses.
Right, right. Yes, I know. And so you're planning on getting this done by when? The yoga
well,
nutrition?
Well, I mean, my new book, I'm thinking, okay, once Kids Yoga Day is over with, because I'm focused... you know, today, but after that, hopefully next year in April. So Kids Yoga Day is going to be happening every April, the second Friday of every April. And I chose that because it's the spring, and I really believe it's like the new beginning, springing into yoga, you know, into changing your life. So that's why I chose it, even though a lot of schools may not be on vacations, depending on them. But I just like the springtime. So
okay.
It'll be every year. So hopefully next April, 2018, I will have a school-based curriculum for nutrition and yoga.
That is awesome. Will you come back on with us?
Definitely. I'll come back on any time. I love talking with you.
Okay. Well, tell us again what your website is and how we can get your book and get involved in the day.
Yes. Well, anyone can get involved still. There's time to get involved in the day. You go to kidsyogaday.com. And there's all the information. There'll be live stream videos of things going on and tons of interesting information about Kids Yoga Day. And you can buy the book on Amazon. It's called The ABCs of Yoga for Kids Around the World. Or you can also buy it on my website, which is abcyogaforkids.com.
Okay, awesome. Thanks so much for joining us. You are amazing, and you're making a worldwide difference. And the world could very much be a different place just because of what you're doing.
Okay, well, that would be amazing. I mean, that would be my goal. I mean, I'm telling you right now, that would really, my life would be worthwhile, right?
Okay. Well.
I always want to make a difference. But, I mean, anyone can make a difference, you know, just doing the small things. But I really do want to make a difference in the world, so thank you for saying that, Sharky.
Okay, well, I think you are. And thanks again so much for joining us.
Okay, great. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks, you too. We'll be back with more Pep Talk and Shark to Heart right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can take on aging as a sport with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Take on Aging as a Sport. Read the book, connect with your inner athletes, make a game plan, discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging, and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Take on Aging as a Sport by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit agingasasport.com.
Attention, Kmart shoppers. Now you get Kmart on HealthyLife.net. Kmart carries over 70,000 items like Martha Stewart's Everyday Products, Apparel by Jacqueline Smith, Joe Boxer, Route 66, Appliances, Jewelry, and more. Everything you need. Plus, you'll get exciting weekly promotions. Go to HealthyLife.net's homepage and click on Kmart, and then you're there. And you even avoided the crowds.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully, regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark's survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
I love food, and I love to eat. The cooking and cleaning part, not so much. Then I found a link to the chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page, and I was happy to find all sorts of amazing recipes and tips on cooking, in addition to great chef-quality kitchen equipment and savings as well. Now I look forward to my time in the kitchen thanks to chef's catalog on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to Pep Talk. It's time for Shark to Heart. And as I was discussing with Teresa in the last segment, I do have my health students write down what they eat, actually what they ate the day before. And it's always fun because that's the way we start off our nutrition unit at the college. And when I tell them that they have to do this, they roll their eyes, and then the look on their faces when they realize they have to hand in their paper for participation points. They go, really? Do I have to hand this in? And I go, yes, you do. And then I share with the class the good, the bad, and the ugly. And, of course, I don't give their names. I don't want to embarrass them. But then they really start to realize how terrible most of them eat. And I really don't ask them to be specific. There's really no need to do that. But they do get the point. And I did this on Wednesday, and so here are some examples from that class. Now, most of my students are between 18 and 21 years old, and so, you know, they're pretty much responsible for their nutrition, okay? When somebody says, well, I eat bad because I eat what my mom tells me to eat, and she cooks my food, and I go, well, how old are you? And they start laughing. So here are some examples that I just got from Wednesday, okay? Here's from a male. So, again, everything they had to eat and drink the day before. Tacos, Cinnabons, and soda. That's all he put down. I'm going, gosh, that's a nutritious day, isn't it? The next one, at least eight more. Okay, another male. Fruit Loops, Subway sandwich, energy drink, ice cream, Sprite, and chips. Okay. A female. Tacos, chili mango shake, hot chips, candy. Another male. So far I haven't seen a good one. Chicken nuggets with fries, Honey Nut Cheerios, Hot Cheetos, Sprite, half a Powerade. You notice that most of these people are drinking soft drinks, right? Okay, or sugar drinks. And here's one that here's the last one. At least she ate a lot, but what she ate was mostly junk. Starbucks Passion Tea Lemonade with eight pumps of sweetener, Sour Patch Kids, banana fried rice, orange chicken, Goldfish crackers, McDonald's 20-piece McNuggets, and Coke. All right, so that's what most of them look like. It's kind of hard to pick out a good one, right? And so after they handed in, and I'm going to read them back to them on Monday, no wonder we have health problems like diabetes and obesity. And eventually heart disease, autoimmune diseases, our bodies are just not getting the nutrients they need and too many calories and chemicals. And to make another point, and I did this on Wednesday, I asked my students, who hasn't had any breakfast this morning? Now, several hands always go up. Now, this is about at 10 a.m. in the morning. And one student who is probably my brightest student and loves to challenge me, raised his hand. And I thought, oh, I'm going to use him as an example because he's always Mr. Know-it-all. And so I said, okay, and I'll just say his name's Tim. It's not. Let's say I feel sorry for you, which I don't, but I do have some apples in my office, and I'm going to bring them in and let you have as many as you want, okay? Would you be okay with that? And he goes, yeah. And I go, how many apples could you eat? And he goes, three. And I go, do you know how many calories are in each apple? And so he had his phone, and he looked it up. And he goes, 98 calories in each one. And I go, you're doing the granny apples, aren't you? People are laughing. I go, just the normal apples have maybe 60, 70. And I said, okay, let's say you could eat the three grannies. Okay. So that's less than 300 calories, right? But more like 200 if they were normal size apples. And so if you ate that, would you get nutrients? And he goes, yeah. And I go, would you get the pectin? Would you get the fiber? And I go, and he goes, yeah. And I go, and they're organic. And I go, would you be getting any pesticides or chemicals? And he goes, no. And I go, okay. So that's a pretty good choice if I have the apples, right? And he goes, yes. So we agreed on that. And then I said, well, instead, let's say I have some pastries. How many of those could you eat? And he said, no, I want Krispy Kremes. I said, okay. How many Krispy Kremes could you eat? And without hesitation, he said, seven. Then I asked, how many calories were in each Krispy Kreme? And it was hilarious. He checked and did the math, and he goes, oh, my gosh. He said if he ate seven Krispy Kremes, he would have taken in 2,700 calories, and the class was cracking up. But they got it. Just from using that one example, we can see how many foods that are high in calories and chemicals that are out there and low in nutrients. And we need to reverse that by eating foods that have high nutrition for the calories eaten. So, you know, but the Krispy Kremes don't cut it, right? Basically, you know, we're taking a look at high calories and low nutrients. And did you know that the average American eats approximately 60% processed foods, 30% animal products, and only 10% fruits and vegetables and whole grains? No wonder we get sick. And from my students' examples, I hardly saw any fruit, vegetables, or whole grains. In fact, I asked my students, I go, do you guys know what a vegetable is? And they laugh. I'm going, that's where you get most of your nutrients, your vitamins, your minerals, your fiber. You know, these are the foods that help reduce our risk of disease, but also in some cases actually heal ourselves. Now, if you guys haven't seen it, I recommend you watch I Love Nutritional Science with Dr. Joel Fuhrman. And it's a TED Talk, so you can get it on YouTube and get his book, Eat to Live. And he explains why nutrition is so important for our health, and that most doctors are not trained in nutrition. So when someone comes to a doctor who's sick, and they're sick, the doctor most often just prescribes medications that mostly mask the symptoms. But he believes we can take responsibility for our health and life by changing our diets that will heal the body from most conditions. We just need to give it the proper fuel and stop taking in harmful chemicals. And he has an acronym for some of the foods that are the most healing. And, you know, it's easy to remember. The acronym is G-BOMBS, G-B-O-M-B-S. And so if you can't remember it, just copy it down, because these are the most healing foods. And he believes that our body has the ability to heal itself from anything if we just give it the right nutrition. And so G stands for greens. And always, you know, if you can, go organic. B stands for beans. O stands for onions. M stands for mushrooms. B, second B, stands for berries. Any berries, and stands for seeds. And so you can put all of these in a salad if you want. And then your body will get most of the nutrients it needs to stay healthy and reverse disease. So I challenge you to take a look at how you eat and see if you can make any adjustments. Even little ones can make a big difference. And coming back to my class, I know that if I do a good job and help my students eat healthier now, it will make a huge difference in their lives, both now and later. And we'll be back with more Pep Talk and what's new and good right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can take on aging as a sport with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Take on Aging as a Sport. Read the book, connect with your inner athletes, make a game plan, discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging, and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Take on Aging as a Sport by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit agingasasport.com.
One of the best things about the technology available today is being able to listen to HealthyLife.net on the go or while I'm at work. Typically, headphones or earphones are required, and let's face it, sometimes they break or get worn out or lost. To find my latest solution to this, I found the Earphone Solutions website while browsing the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. There are plenty of options from basic inexpensive on-the-go earphones to studio-quality headphones for when I really have time to enjoy everything from rock to bach. Earphone Solutions on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
With a little shark sense, you can improve your life. Shark Sense, a new book by Sharky Zartman, is a book that can teach you survival instincts. It pumps you up to live your life fully regardless of what life dishes out. Shark Sense, a fast read with tested principles right from the shark survival traits. You can do anything. Tap into your inner shark and get your copy of Shark Sense right now. Available at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and at sharksense.org.
If you like to spend your television viewing time learning about some of the things that you may have missed in history class, or if history was your favorite subject, then you should check out the link to the History Channel on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page. Order DVD sets by series or by subject matter right from our homepage while you still enjoy your favorite HealthyLife.net show.
You're listening to HealthyLife.net. Millions of listeners know the secret, now you do too. Positive talk 24 hours a day, every day.
We are back with more Pep Talk, and it's time for What's New and Good. As you know, each week I kind of look through the different medias, you know, Yahoo, different websites, and I'm always looking for not what's wrong and what's awful. I'm looking for what's new and good. So when somebody asks me, hey, what's up, I can share something with them that's positive. And so here are some of the things I found this week that I want to share with you. First off, did you know that Sweden just changed to a 6-hour workday instead of the normal 8-hour workday? And they're saying it does not even affect their wages. They're getting the same amount. And you say, well, how can they do that? Well, it's based on studies that show that workers typically can get the same amount of work done in 6 hours that they could in 8 hours. Plus, it leaves them more time off to do what they want to do. The workers are happier, healthier, and more productive. So what do you think? Does that sound like something the United States should think about? Yeah, I think so. Also, most of you probably remember Dick Van Dyke. Well, Dick just turned 91. And he will be the oldest leading man in a movie when he stars in the new Mary Poppins. Now, when they were interviewing him, they asked him how he stays so young and productive in his early 90s. And he says that he works out. And he says that he has an attitude that really helps him achieve his goals. He said he is defiant against letting age interfere with his quality of life. I love that. Most people just say, well, I can't do this because I'm this old. And some people start saying it relatively young. He's 91. And so I just find him to be a wonderful inspiration. I can't wait to see the new Mary Poppins. It should be out sometime this year. And then here's an inspirational story for you. It happened in Philadelphia. you might have seen this on the news, I think it was on ABC, when three runners came to the aid of a woman who was about to finish a half marathon when her knees buckled nearing the finish line. And so she was stumbling, you know, you could tell she was in trouble. And two runners came to her aid and tried to walk with her to the finish line. So they were trying to hold her up while she was walking. But she collapsed. And then another runner came, a strong-looking man, who came up to help, and he picked her up and carried her within a couple inches to the finish line so she could finish. And it was just so inspiring to see that. I thought, how nice. Now, obviously, she was attended to after the race and was fine afterwards. But what was amazing was to see the amount of people who ran right past her when she was obviously in trouble, just thinking about themselves and finishing the race. But thank goodness there were these runners who came to her aid. And I'm so glad they got this on film so we could see these people doing good. And are you ready for a new trend? Summer's coming up, and I found this online. I put it on my Facebook page. I'm not so sure, but it's called sumo surfing. There's an inflatable suit that you can wear in the water that looks like a bright yellow and orange capsule. It's about 38 inches wide and 33 inches long, and it makes riding the waves easier. It can be steered and gives you some cushioning. Watching these people riding these waves in one of these sumo surfers is something like I've never seen before. And you can even just use it as a float. So I expect we'll be seeing some of these this summer at the beach. Another thing we'll be seeing at the beach this summer in the South Bay is white sharks. There was just one reported near Manhattan Beach Pier this morning. Right before I left, I saw that they were saying, okay, and they were showing the shark just swimming right around the Manhattan Pier. Now, they didn't close the beach, but they did issue a warning. Now, to be honest, we've had several sightings of white sharks in the past few years, and we have not had any incidents yet. But I would be very careful swimming around any pier, because obviously, you know, these sharks are looking for food. And they might be juvenile sharks, you know, young sharks, but they're big. They're usually between 10 and 15 feet long and can take a big bite if they are hungry or get aggravated. And everybody says, well, why don't we just get rid of the sharks? And remember, the sharks live in the water. We don't. And so we have to really just, you know, be observant and respect the fact that they are in the water and not go in and make them mad. Also, if you're into technology, there's a great new device that is a tracker for both mindfulness and activity. It's called the Spire, S-P-I-R-E. And can be clipped. It just looks like a little triangular, you know, device, you know, like a tracker, like a Fitbit. And you can clip it onto a belt or a bra, and it connects with your iPhone. And I know we're familiar with activity trackers. I have a Fitbit that counts steps, heart rates, and distance, and tracks it for you. But this one also tracks your breathing and lets you know when your body is starting to experience stress. And so this would be when you're not exercising. And it's cool because it'll alert you when your breath starts going. Usually when you start breathing fast is when you're experiencing stress. And so this device, the Spire, will let you know that your body is starting to experience stress. And not only does it let you know, it also has help on it. It has guided visualizations and breathing exercises that you can do right then and there. And so I think this is a great app, especially for those of us who experience a lot of stress in our lives. And you know, there's a lot of us out there. And you can get one on Amazon. Just type Inspire and try it out. You know, and I really love that we have technology that can eliminate stress from our lives instead of adding more. It seems like one of the reasons we're so stressed out is because of all the technology and because of the fact that we're always in communication. We're overloaded with information. And so having an app that helps us relax, I think it's about time. I think it's about time we had one. And also, have you ever heard the term salicylphil? I hadn't. But come to find out, a thalassophil, if somebody called me a thalassophil, I would not be upset, because a thalassophil is a person who loves the ocean. And yes, I am a self-confirmed thalassophil. I try to get out there every day, get down by the water, and just, you know, enjoy looking out over the horizon and seeing what activity is going on out there. We always see usually pelicans, sometimes dolphins, and just being around the waves and, you know, just the vast expanse. What's really cool right now is there's nobody down there. So it's really neat. So, yes, I am a thalassophil. I can hardly even say it. And it's not a bad thing. And we'll be back to wrap it up right after this.
You don't have to be a couch potato when it comes to aging. Now you can take on aging as a sport with Sharky Zartman's new book called, wait for it, Take on Aging as a Sport. Read the book, connect with your inner athlete, make a game plan, discover little-known facts and methods to overcome aging, and discover how to take charge of your health and aging in a positive way. Get your copy of Take on Aging as a Sport by Sharky Zartman at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or visit agingasasport.com.
With so many wonderful authors appearing as guests on HealthyLife.net, you can easily support their work by browsing the Barnes & Noble link on our advertiser page. Browse for books, or even an e-book, DVDs, movies, music, games, gift cards, and more. Find the Barnes & Noble link on the HealthyLife.net advertiser page.
Pep it up with positive energy power right here on HealthyLife.net.
Hey, thanks for joining us today on Pep Talk, and to my wonderful guests, Teresa Ann Power. Remember, International Yoga Kids Day, the global event designed to help children celebrate their health and fitness through yoga, is coming up in like the next 5 minutes. And so check it out. And thanks again for joining us. I'm Sharky Zartman, and here's to your inner shark.